You are listening to the cycling podcast at the Vuelta a España in association with Rafa, celebrating the sport and producing the finest cycling clothing since 2004.
Hello, my name's Richard Moore. I'm with Daniel Freib.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Daniel. And we opened there with the sound that emanated from the Etics Quickstep team bus at the finish today, or close to the finish, as David de la Cruz won the stage, dropped his breakaway companion and won the stage. Continue a very good Vuelta for Etics Quickstep, third stage win. And he's now in the red jersey, took over the red jersey from Nairo Quintana. But to sum all that up and to say it a bit more clearly, let's hand over to Lionel Burney with his tale of the etapa. Over to you, Lionel.
It was all change at the Vuelta again today as David de la Cruz took Spain's first stage victory of the race at Alto del Naranco near Oviedo. De la Cruz also took the red jersey from Nairo Quintana. The Etics Quickstep rider was part of a 12-man break that got away on stage 9. The group had some powerful riders in it, including Luis Leon Sanchez, Alexandre Geniez, Jan Bakelants, Thomas de Gendt and Matthias Frank, who've all been on the attack on other days in this Vuelta. On the fourth from last climb, de Gendt got away and went over the top of the climb in the lead, but he was caught by the break with still 36 kilometres to go. Then Dries de Venins and Bakelants went clear before the penultimate climb, and they were joined by Dylan Teuns, but that move didn't last either. On the final climb, de Venins and de la Cruz went away with around 8 kilometres to go. They were briefly chased by de Gendt, but eventually the leading duo broke the resolve of the chasers and had the stage to fight out amongst themselves. De la Cruz accelerated with 500 metres to go, and he had enough to get away from de Venins, who seemed to have a problem with his gears. So de la Cruz won the stage and took the red jersey, and he leads overall by 22 seconds from Quintana. Not much change elsewhere overall, although Darwin Atapuma lost a little bit more time. Gianni Meersman still in the points competition lead, Thomas de Gendt has the King of the Mountains jersey, and de la Cruz is leading the combined classification, although Valverde will wear the white jersey tomorrow. Tomorrow is the last stage before the rest day, and it's a very tricky and famous mountaintop finish at Lagos de Covadonga.
Thank you for that, Lionel. Apologies if there's a bit of background noise here. There's a football
Who's playing?
Not quite sure. And Daniel's eating nuts. That might be another background noise. Anyway, Daniel, you had an interesting theory about today's stage, didn't you?
No.
Is that coming
later? I was going to drop that in innocently later. It wasn't a theory. I think okay. I will. I think we'll talk. Let's just talk normally about the stage. See if anyone can spot the theory.
Okay, excellent. Just slip it in there. You might have to play the podcast backwards. It might be a subliminal message. But I think it wasn't a stage that really lit up. It wasn't one for the ages. It was a very exciting stage on Saturday. This was the second of three hilly-ish days before the rest day, and probably the, on paper as well, the least exciting of the three, and it lived down to those expectations, no?
Second of three. Tomorrow's pretty damn hilly.
That's
tomorrow
what I mean.
Finish at Lagos
Okay, second of three hilly stages.
Okay, mountainous.
Second of three stages with hills slash mountains.
Slash mountains. Yeah.
Are those nuts going down well? You're
hungry? Yeah, they are. They've got like jelly
babies. They're really weird.
They're interspersed
really
with
weird.
Jelly babies. Anyway, it's tough for guys who have come to the Vuelta as opportunists to try and sniff out these few opportunities between the big mountain stages. So we're talking about the likes of Simon Clark, who we've seen in breaks three times, going quite close. Luis Leon Sanchez, Moreno Moser was up there today. Dries de Venins came second, and David de la Cruz. It's a real battle between these guys because everyone knows the stages when breaks are likely to arrive at the finish. There's generally been a lot of quality in those groups, and that was certainly the case today. I think Luis Leon Sanchez might have been the favourite under normal circumstances. It was interesting talking to Simon Clark at the finish. He was happy to have been down the road for much of the day, but was pretty down on himself and said that he'd really made a stupid decision going in the break because he hadn't recovered, wasn't feeling good, and it was really just a waste of time. But when the opportunities present themselves, I suppose you have to seize, or you have to jump on them.
Luis Leon Sanchez had a lot of support on the climb. I was standing on the climb watching the race go past, actually, because the buses were parked a little bit down the hill, and I was standing there watching them. But it was another Sanchez, Samuel Sanchez, who was a local boy today. There's a statue of him in Oviedo, where we're staying tonight. A statue of him on the podium at the 2008 Olympic Games, where he won the road race, of course. he wasn't in the break. He's targeting overall here. He did have a little dig towards the summit. Didn't really get anything out of that, but you know, he was okay for a 38-year-old. I spoke to him back at the BMC bus. The local boy here is Samuel Sanchez. Racing into your hometown today, is that always special for you?
Yes, it's really special, really motivated. That it's my town, my city, my home. I do this climb a lot of times in my life for training, and it's a lot of people in the all of the climb, and really motivated for me.
You had a little go there towards the end. Is that just because you're still thinking of GC? You know, you're still well placed overall. Is it to just gain a bit of time, or is it to put on a bit of a show for all the people who've been out supporting you today?
Yeah, well, today is too hard day there, but the bottom of the start and the bottom of the last of the first climb, it's a big group with one rider danger for the general De La Cruz, and behind Movistar pulling every day, the final is too fast. No, the last four climb is too fast, and the final in the last 300 meters high attacks will take a few seconds, and it's too hard. And tomorrow is the day of the Lagos de Covadonga, is highly staged, and the difference sure is bigger than today.
How are you feeling? How is your health? Have you been a bit unwell this first week, or are you okay?
For the moment, I feel so good. Yesterday is no 100%, but the final climb is too hard for me. And I am 38 years, the old people is 29, 30, 31. It's too difficult fighting to the young riders, but I stay in the top 10. It's for me and for the team, it's good result for the moment.
You think on a steep climb like that, perhaps, you know, you don't perhaps have the strength of some of the younger riders, and you'll go better on the longer climbs. Is that what you're thinking?
For the steep climb and the two or 3K, for me it's
too explosive.
Too explosive, and the effort is short. No, for me it's better the climbs too long, with the tempo, no full gas, and maybe tomorrow is better for me. No.
Eurosport, the home of cycling.
Thank you very much to Eurosport for sponsoring the cycling podcast. You can, of course, watch the Vuelta live every day on Eurosport. And we're doing an event? Facebook Live event. I think it is an event for Eurosport. It'll be on the Eurosport Facebook page on Tuesday on the rest day. I'm going to be doing a Q&A with Ian Boswell, the Team Sky rider. Time to be confirmed. He'll get his daily plan tomorrow, and then we'll know roughly when it's going to be. I would suspect late afternoon on Tuesday. On the rest day, it'll be me and Ian Boswell, and we'll have a bit of a chat and take your questions. So we will try and give lots of notice of when that will be. Do tune in and participate in the Facebook Live event on the Eurosport Facebook page.
Boswell's old pal, Joe Dombrowski, was being very mischievous on Twitter, wasn't he? He was likening you to Jeremy Clarkson. I don't watch Top Gear, but the...
I don't watch Top Gear.
Napalm and I too. Who are they? Hammond and May. So the Top Gear presents it. Struck me that we need to come up with an equally insulting comparison for... Because the three amigos are together, aren't they? Dombrowski, Boswell, and Warbass.
Who would they be? Someone else compared us to the three cats from Last of the Summer Wine. Probably a little bit unfair on you, Daniel, as the more youthful member of the trio. But I do know... I don't watch Top Gear, but I do know who Jeremy Clarkson is. And I wasn't that flattered by the comparison, shall we say. I've never punched anybody, actually, yet. Anyway, it's early days in the Vuelta, and we were going to carry on talking about today's stage. Now, continue a very good Vuelta for Etics Quickstep, who had a great Giro, a poor Tour, and are having a good Vuelta. At the finish, a rider who I've been impressed by, Gianluca Brambilla, who also rode well at the Giro, of course, won a stage and took the pink jersey, didn't he, at the Giro, briefly. But he seems to be riding this Vuelta a little bit differently. I noted in Saturday's podcast that Etics Quickstep were really present towards the front of the bunch as they approached the climb, and I wondered why. And I think Brambilla has sort of overall ambitions, or at least to see what he can do on GC. Anyway, I spoke to Brambilla at the finish. He was delighted for his teammate and roommate, David De La Cruz. But here is Brambilla. Gianluca, another very good day for the team.
Yeah, good day for the team, especially for David. He really deserved it. He had some bad luck during this year, but now he's in really good shape, and he's doing a good Vuelta till now. I said him is in the room with me. Every day I say him, go easy, because you have really good legs. And if you take the right right breakaway, you can win the stage. And today was perfect.
You seem to be riding the Vuelta a little bit differently. You're in the top 10 overall. Is that something that you're aiming for here, to see how you can get on in GC?
We see. My idea before the Vuelta was like in Giro. Yeah, keep a good position in GC first days, then maybe try for a breakaway and win in stage. Now I feel really good. My condition is maybe better than Giro, and I feel really recovered in the morning, so I think I can keep trying to do GC. But I think we see tomorrow. I think it's the real first climb, and we see if tomorrow we have the jersey, so we have to see if we let them go a breakaway or no. But until now we deserve a stage victory and a red jersey, so it's perfect.
So you've got a hard day as a team tomorrow defending the jersey.
Yeah, but we think tomorrow.
So that was a very happy Gianluca Brambilla, Daniel.
Yes, and he's not a rider noted for his results on general classification, but he has actually gone well at the Vuelta a couple of times on general classification, been sort of in around the 10th place on general classification.
When he also doesn't start fighting people.
Also got kicked out, didn't he?
Ivan Romney, wasn't it?
He was a very naughty boy a couple of years ago.
On a fight, I'm sure that'll be on YouTube.
Yeah, so I think he is on a bit of a voyage of self-discovery in this Vuelta. So he's going to see how far he can go. And a lot of punchy climbs. I actually might
punchy,
have...
Punchy, did you just say?
Yeah.
Punchy.
Punchy climbs. I would have expected him to be a bit more prominent on some of the stages with the short, steep climbs at the end up until now, but maybe he's saving himself
week. Condition's better than at the Giro where he rode very well, but yeah, it's almost like he's not been going in those kind of moves and following those breaks in order to try and see what he is capable of as we get deeper into the race.
They do have, I mean, you said they've been successful, and it can almost look like, you know, coincidence and good luck, and they've just been there to capitalise on favourable circumstances. But they have got a very powerful team here at the Vuelta, haven't they? They've got Stibar, Terpstra, Brambilla, De La Cruz. Mm. I mean, it's the kind of team that most squads would take to the Tour de France.
Yeah, De La Cruz is perhaps one of the less heralded members of that team. I think that was his first win, I think. And he's been around the block a little bit, ridden for some very small teams. And it was a very popular win. He seems to be a very popular member of the team, just extended his contract, actually, a couple of days ago. He was away towards the end with Dries Devenins. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yep.
Devenins, who is joining Etix Quickstep.
Of course, lives on the Quarremont.
He lives
halfway at the Quarremont.
He rides for I Am Cycling. We thought we were going to see another I Am Cycling win, but he is joining Etix Quickstep, which is curious, isn't it? That he was, the two of them were away together.
Very curious, and Devenins has had a very fruitful, very productive season, won a lot of races, won Tour of Belgium, won Tour of Wallonie. So at that point in the race, you might have expected Devenins to win, to go on a win, particularly with I Am being so prolific at the moment, so successful at the moment. So my money was certainly on Devenins at that point. Curious.
So, yeah, what do you think happened? Why do you think De La Cruz won?
He was clearly the strongest guy in the race today.
Normally, we also see footage, don't we, inside the team car, Etix Quickstep.
But I'm sure, yeah, Davide Bramati, the Etix Quickstep director sportif, very excitable character, the self-styled Jose Mourinho of cycling. Yeah, his celebrations of stage wins filmed on, are they GoPro cameras? I'm not sure. Become quite famous, haven't they? And they've gone viral a few times. But yeah, unfortunately, Davide...
In the excitement of the conclusion to the stage, they forgot to turn the camera on.
That's right, Richard. But you know, I mean, come next year when Dries Devenins is riding for Etix Quickstep, you know, I'm sure Bramati will have a lot to celebrate
and remember to turn the camera on in the team car. And that was the main talking point, I suppose, the stage win and the fact that your red jersey passed on to De La Cruz. Movistar won't be unhappy about that, will they?
Yeah, a few rumblings of discontent on Twitter. Unusual for Twitter. I know that medium is usually...
It's usually so measured.
It's usually so... Yeah, about Movistar's disrespecting the jersey, Not that they really should have done more to chase De La Cruz back. I mean, it was pretty tight, wasn't it? It was touch and go.
20 seconds.
It was 20 seconds. I don't really think they'll care either way, do you? I mean, Nairo Quintana has much bigger fish to fry, as do Movistar. So
imagine Quintana will get it back tomorrow.
Yeah, having lost the jersey by such a narrow margin, I don't think they'll be too concerned. David De La Cruz himself was a very good climber. Really, he's really been championed throughout his career by Brian Smith, the former...
I was going to say that, yeah.
Yeah, the former Dimension Data... Yeah. manager and NetApp. He had David De La Cruz at NetApp. He was always a very big admirer of De La Cruz and a big believer in his potential. Hasn't had fantastic results so far at Quickstep. Well, he's sort of flown under the radar, been mainly a mountain domestique, but is talented.
Anything else from today, Daniel? I saw you speaking at the start to Esteban Chavez. The angelic, smiling Esteban Chavez.
Oh, interesting talking to Chavez today because he was very candid and honest about why he lost time yesterday. And he said that the guys who have ridden the Tour de France are simply at a higher level. It was very, very difficult to live with their pace yesterday on La Camperona. He also said that yesterday's stage, as we touched on at the time, was very particular in the sense that it's an effort where you go, it's a very short, abrupt effort where you might go to 600 from 300 watts to 600 watts or 700 watts very, very quickly. It doesn't suit everyone. Chavez didn't feel that it suited him. Having said that, I think the optimism that surrounded Chavez and Chavez's optimism have taken a bit of a hit after yesterday's stage.
A minor blow. Yeah, and also going from the big ring to the little ring so abruptly, because it was a pretty much a flat stage, and then suddenly this climb rearing up at the end. It's a bit of a shock to the system, I would imagine. And as Samuel Sanchez said in my interview with him earlier, for him, he found it very hard to make that such a... big effort because it was a short climb,
particularly
as well.
Particularly when they hit those.
There was very, no riding into it, was
no,
there?
No, when they hit those very steep ramps. I mean, I said 600, 700 watts. That sounds like an awful lot, but they really do sprint into those steep ramps, and some riders can simply never recover.
We mentioned Larry Warbass earlier. I spoke to him at the start, and he rode extremely well on the climb. He was 16th fastest up it, in fact, and he's he was looking to get in the break today. He said, and try again tomorrow. Trouble is, everybody knows he's going pretty well now, so it puts a bit of a target on his back. But he'll keep trying, he'll keep fighting, and I'm sure, buoyed by the good form and good performances of his IAM teammates.
Almost to a man, IAM Cycling have been completely transformed, haven't they, since the announcement that the team is closing next year. It's been the greatest motivational technique, which almost inclines you to think it's a big bluff.
I don't think it is, though. Unfortunately, and we'll miss them, won't we? We'll miss their kit. It's very style. They've almost. I like the
very
navy blue.
Very pleasant to deal with.
Nice people. I like the navy blue kit. I wasn't so keen on the white initially, but it's really grown on me, and I like it a lot. Anyway, we're very late tonight, Daniel, but for various reasons, we've had a bit of a fraught day, haven't we? But should we leave it there? We've got a big day tomorrow. I think we're looking forward to the climb tomorrow up to Lagos de
Covadonga.
That's it, you say it better than I do. If you look through the roll call of previous winners there, it's some of the great and the good of cycling, including Scotland's own Robert Miller. But Luis Herrera's won there a couple of times as well.
Also famous, infamous, notorious to a certain extent for Miguel Indurain's retirement from cycling. The last time Miguel Indurain raced competitively was on the stage to Lagos de Covadonga. He pulled over to the side of the road before they even got to the Lagos, before they even got to the climb. And at that stage, people didn't know that he was going to retire, but that proved to be his last action.
1996. And he rode that Vuelta really against his will. It was team orders, wasn't it? He'd lost the Tour that year, and it was a sort of, had he not been forced to ride that Vuelta, he may well have carried on, because that really caused a breakdown in his relationship with the team that he'd been with his entire career. And I remember there was a possibility of him going to Once after that. But that didn't happen, and Indurain retired, and he was still quite a young man. So, yeah, a very famous climb, and set to be an important day there tomorrow, especially the day before the rest day. So let's go and have dinner before you eat all these nuts and jelly babies, Daniel. In the meantime, thank you very much.
Thanks, Rich.